Little ministry called Adopt a Ministry, and that is, you know, from time to time we will have people from the outside would come and share their ministry to us. And you know, I for one think it's really cool that we get to hear things, you know, outside of this church. We get to know what, you know, God is doing around the world. And so if you guys want to know more about, like Pastor Kathy and her ministry, and you can talk to Tim afterward, you can talk to her afterward, and just to kind of get to know that a little bit more. So I just want to say that first before we start. And now, for you guys, are we ready for God's Word? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for just gathering us today, and thank you for just time we can worship, we can listen to the things that you're doing around the world. And we ask that as we come before your Word today, as we continue our study on the 40 days of community, you'll just give us the eyes to see and the heart to know that you have a plan for us. You have a purpose for us. So we're not just going to be here, doing things for ourselves. We're going to be reaching out. We want to do that. So Lord, we just want to pray and ask that you'll speak to us through the message today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as you can see from your bulletin today, today's the sermon title is Reach Out Better Together, right? Reaching Out Together. So that would be the title. Now, last week, if you were here for the combined service, we saw that you and I, we were both created by God, for five purposes. And that is from our study from the 40 days of purpose, the 40 days purpose-driven life. Yeah. And you guys remember what those five purposes are? You guys can name them? Okay, let's do it. What's the first one? Worship. Okay. Fellowship. Okay, what's the third one? Disciples. Okay, someone say disciples. That's cool. Okay, now, two more. Evangelism and ministry. It's actually ministry and evangelism. I think they were able to come up with an order. Well, for today, we will see how we do evangelism together as a community. Because, you know, the study is about 40 days of community. So we'll talk about that. Okay? Now, why does God want us to do mission? Why does God want us to reach out to people? Well, because God wants everybody in his family. You see, God has never made a person that he didn't love. God has never made a person he didn't have a purpose for. He had never made a person that Jesus Christ did not die for. So therefore, God wants us to do mission. That's the primary reason why we reach out. Now, I want you guys to pull your bulletin, and my bulletin is right here on the seat. I want you guys to pull the bulletin, and let's read together from verse 27 of chapter 1 in Philippians. Can we do that together? Open your bulletin and let's read it together. You are standing together, side by side, with one strong purpose to tell the good news. Right? Now, I want to ask everybody to grab a pen or a pencil. Can the usher do that? Can we pass our pens and pencil to everybody? And you guys will see some blanks inside your bulletin for you to fill out. So if you don't have a pen or a pencil, could you raise your hand? Someone will give it to you. Okay, there's like one person, right? Kyle doesn't have one. There's a few people around, maybe in the back. Okay. All right, so with a pen or a pencil, I want you guys to circle the phrase standing together, you know, from that verse. And also circle, you know, the phrase tell the good news. Can you guys do that? Standing together and tell the good news. That's what we will be talking about. And how do we do that together? How do we share to our friends about God's love? I mean, how do I partner with my small group, you know, for the next 40 days? Okay? So now let's read one more verse. And that is verse 5 from Philippians chapter 1. And go back to a bulletin. Let us read that verse together. You've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. Now, I want you guys to use your pen or pencil and circle that word partners. All right? Partners. That will be the key word for today's message. Partner. P-A-R-T-N-E-R. Now, each letter from this word partner will represent a way in which we will do that as a small group. So that's why you see inside your bulletin, there's like seven different blanks representing seven different letters. All right? So that's how we'll go about doing today. You with me? Good? All right. So first letter, let's talk about that. First letter stands for pray together. Pray together. That would be the first thing we do. We pray together. And in your small group, this is what you are to do. You are to ask your small group to pray for your friends, pray for your family members who don't really know Jesus yet. Okay? And you see, the thing about praying together is that we cannot force God on anybody, but we can pray for them. Now, what are we supposed to pray for? Let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Again, let's read it together. Pray for us that God will give us the opportunity to tell people his message. So you see, over and over again in the New Testament, Paul will always ask people to pray for him to share the gospel. And if the Apostle Paul needed that prayer, so do we. And this is what we pray for. We pray for opportunities. And you know what? When we pray for opportunities, things happen. When we pray for our families, we start seeing the needs of our family. When we pray for our friends, we start seeing the needs of our friends. When we pray for our coworkers, we start to become aware of their needs. Like, prayer makes us aware of what's around us. Now, this is why I hope and why I strongly encourage you guys to do in your small group this week. I want to ask you to name at each person in the small group, to name at least one person, one non-believing friend or family that you want to reach out to. Okay? And then afterward, I want you guys to start praying for those names together as a group. Like, find the time. I mean, you guys will be meeting up for the small group this week. Do that. Just try to find the time to pray for your non-believing friends and families. I mean, wouldn't it be great if the whole church, both in the EM and the TM, can do that together? Like, all the people that we want to reach out to can be prayed for. Okay? So that's the first letter, which is pray together. Here's the second letter, A, which stands for appeal to common interest. Appeal to common interest. Now, before we can share the good news with anybody, we have to establish a relationship with them. We have to relate to them. So we need to find out, we need to ask ourselves, what do we have in common? I mean, what do we like to talk about? I mean, do we have any common interest? Do we have any common experiences? I mean, for example, like, who likes to play golf? I do. Right? And then you can ask that person, hey, let's play golf, right? I mean, who likes to fish? Who likes to cook? Who likes music? Who likes certain sports? You know, that would be the kind of thing that you want to do, that you want to appeal to common interest with your non-Christian friends and families. Again, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 to 23. Let's read it. Paul says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. So you see that Paul does that. He tries to find common grounds. And he tries to find common grounds with everybody. And that's the same with you and me. When we want to reach out to people, we try to find common interest, similar life situations or backgrounds. I mean, again, you know, if you like sports, bring a friend, you know, who's not a Christian to go to a sports event with you. If you like to cook, cook together and invite your friends to come and eat. If you like arts, you know, go to museums or exhibitions. And those are the common interests that we share with our friends will give us the opportunity to share God's love to them. And this doesn't really just apply for your, you know, friends. It can apply for your family members as well. I mean, if your family members, I know a lot of times when we try to share the good news to our family members, they're like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear it. Instead of like, you know, a lot of times, you know, instead of trying to persuade them to know God, a lot of times we can simply, hey, what do you like to do now? What's been something that you've been wanting to do? Let's do it together. And then from that, God will open the door for us, you know, to share God's love to them, right? So that's the second letter. A, appeal to common interest. Let's go to the third one. R, reach out in love. Reach out in love. Okay? Now, Jesus says, love your neighbors. How? How does Jesus say it? He says, love your neighbors. How? As yourself, right? Thanks, Eddie. And you know the old cliche, people don't care what we know or what we preach or what we talk about until they first know that we care. And that's what, you know, this is about. And again, why are we doing this? I mean, think about this. Why are we reaching out to the world about Jesus? I mean, why can we just focus on us? I mean, why can't we just, you know, we have enough people in this church. Why don't we just try to make this church stronger and warmer and everybody's just, you know, like, you know, gel together? I mean, why in the world do we want to reach out to people? And there are a lot of churches out there who simply exist for themselves. They spend very little time. They spend very little energy trying to reach out to the community. And a lot of times they're very content and they're very satisfied by just keeping the status quo. But that's not what the church is about. God wants the church to reach out to the world. That's the way He designs the church to be. In fact, let me tell you three reasons, three really good reasons why we want to reach out. Here's the first one. We have the greatest news in the world to share. God's love through Jesus Christ is the greatest news this world can ever receive. Now, do you guys believe that? Do you guys truly believe that? That's the greatest news? I mean, think about it. If I have cure for cancer, for example, would I keep it to myself? I would go out and just, hey, I have cure for cancer. Or same thing, if I have like cure for AIDS or for some kind of like untreatable illness, I wouldn't keep it to myself. I want to tell people about it. But the thing is, you and I, we have something better than that. We have the news about Jesus Christ. And God says, go, make disciples, tell them about me. Now, what's the good news? Well, the good news is you and I, we're not an accident. We have been made for a purpose and a plan. And you and I were made to last forever. And God wants people to live forever with Him in eternity. And He wants them to get to know Him here on earth as well. And He knows and He loves everything about you and me and all those people out there in the world. And He wants them to be in a relationship with Him. I mean, that is the first part of the good news. Here comes the second part. God came into the world in the person of Jesus so that you could get to know God in a personal sense. He died on the cross and He paid for our sins so that everything that we've ever done in the past is all wiped away. It's all forgotten. It's all forgiven. And that will give us a purpose in life. I mean, that is the great news that we have. It is the greatest news that we can do to share to the world. So that gives us the first reason. Here comes the second reason why we want to reach out. And that is a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude. You see, if we truly have experienced God in our lives, then naturally we will want to share this experience to people. I mean, we don't want to share. I mean, we don't have to share. We want to share. You know what I mean? I mean, you are reaching out to people about Jesus, not because you have to, but because you want to. Not because I tell you to as your pastor, but because you guys want to do that. Now, let me ask you guys this. Have you guys ever discovered a new restaurant in town and the food is really delicious? And then you went in there, you're just like, oh my goodness, this is the greatest food I've ever tasted in my life. And after you go back home, I was like, I don't want to tell anybody about this. Of course not. If you had such experience, you know, about this great restaurant, you want to tell your friends and family, go eat there. Food is awesome and cheap, right? But the thing is, you know, with Jesus, that's 1,000 times better. It's out of our heart and gratitude that we want to reach out to people. And we want to show people how much He means to us. So that's the second reason. But then here's the third reason why we want to reach out. And that's because the Bible says, God is love. God is love. When God comes into our life, we start loving people automatically. In fact, here's the truth. And let me be real frank about this. If you have no love for others, if you are always just seeking for your own interest, then you don't have God in your life. That's what the Bible says. And we learned about that yesterday in the youth group, right? Unless God is there, there's no way you can love. A heart that is transformed by God is a heart that loves. You cannot have somebody as big as God come into your life and not change you. It doesn't work that way. Now let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 together. Let's read it. Because we loved you, we were happy to share not only God's good news, but even our own lives. Now, Paul says this, right? He says to the church over there. And then the reason why he's able to say that is because he has first received the love from God. So in other words, we reach out when we share the good news because God first reached out to us. He first shared the good news to us. He became the good news so that we can be like the good news to other people. right? So that's the letter R. Now, am I going too fast? All right, let's go to the next letter. And that is T, which is tell your story. Tell your story. Now let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 together. You are God's instruments to do His work and to speak out for Him and to tell others of the night and day difference that He has made for you. Now, telling your story to others is the most effective way to let people know about Jesus. And a lot of times, people think the best way to reach out to people, I mean, a lot of times, like we Christians, we think the best way to reach out to people is through confrontations or arguments. Like, let's argue, let's just bump heads, you know, like. But, you know, remember what Jesus said to His disciples? He said, you will be my lawyers to the world? No, He said, you will be my witnesses. Witnesses. Now, when you hear the word witness, what do you see? I mean, for me, when I hear the word witness, I picture this courtroom, you know, scene that I see on TV, you know. And what will a witness do? A witness would take the witness stand, and what is that person supposed to do? Well, that person is expected to tell people about what they saw, or what they experienced, or what they heard. And it's a perfect picture of what God wants us to do. I mean, God doesn't ask us to be the attorney trying to argue the case with Jesus, you know, with people about Jesus. He's not asking us to be the judge trying to draw conclusions. He's asking us to be the witness. And a witness says, well, this is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. This is what I experienced. A witness is someone who says, you know, who tells the story of what God has done in their life. That's what a witness does. Now, here's another thing I want to encourage you guys to do in your small group this week. I want each of you to take the time to write down a story of how you have experienced God. And I want you to share that in your group. Start there. Start with your group. And some of you guys have never even shared your story to each other. Look at what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 66, verse 16. Let's read that. Listen, and I will tell you what God has done for me. So in your small group this week, have a person take 2 or 3 minutes just to share with each other what God has done in their life. You know, do that as a group activity if you can. And tell your story to one another. It doesn't have to be a whole life story. You know, you don't have to take up 2 hours for, telling your story about how, you know, how many siblings you have, when's the first time you drove a car. I mean, you know, but just take the opportunity to share with one another what God has done in your life. Be a witness to one another. And by doing so, you know, you are being trained to do that with non-believers and family members. Okay? So tell your story. Next letter is the letter N. It stands for nurture friendships. Nurture friendships. In other words, build friendships with people that you want to reach out to. Now, this step takes a little bit more time or energy. And it doesn't, you know, happen overnight. But the Bible commands us in Romans 12, verse 16. And let's read that. Be friendly with everybody. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Now, here's the truth, guys. God has already put the people He wants to reach out through you in your life. And who are those people? They're the people that you work with. They're the people that you go to school with. You know, they're the people who live down the streets. You know, the people who are on your speed dial. You know, those are the people who God has already put in your life. And if you do not tell them about God, who else will? In fact, you are the only, for a lot of you may be the only Bible those people will ever read. Or in other words, you may be the closest thing that they could ever taste about who Jesus is. Now, one of the best things that we can do to reach out to people is to invite them to a party. Invite them to a party or to some kind of gathering. And that was all Jesus did in His ministry. He would go to parties. Now, our Lord Jesus was having so much parties that the religious leaders of His day, the Pharisees, they call Him a drunk or glutton. That's what they call Him. Why? Because He was always at parties with sinners, with tax collectors, with prostitutes. Now, I'm not suggesting that you guys should go to bars and start drinking, right? But, you know, invite people to, you know, to some kind of gathering, to some kind of meal together. Now look at verse 29 of Luke chapter 5 with me. And let's read that. It says, in his home, Levi, or Matthew, gave a big dinner party for Jesus, and many fellow tax collectors and other guests were also there. So that's what we see offering Jesus' ministries. Now, here is another thing I would encourage you guys to do in your small groups during the next 40 days, and that is to invite a non-Christian friend to your small group. Invite a non-Christian friend to your small group or to your youth group. Now, some of you guys may say, well, hey, Walt, I don't think there's anybody who will want to come to the small group, you know, with me. And if that's what you think, and if you ask me, then I would say, how do you know that? How would you know that? You know, the survey has shown that most non-Christians don't go to church, not because they don't want to, but because they haven't been asked. The truth is, people are far more willing to come to a small group or to a church event, than we're willing to ask them. So think of a friend, or maybe a neighbor, you know, or a classmate or coworker that you care about, and invite them to the church. Bring them to your small group. Have a party. You know, get some, you know, food together, eat some pizza, watch a movie, and just get to know them, you know, in that kind of setting. And if that's what Jesus did, then let's do that. Nurture friendships through parties, through meals, through gatherings. Okay, so that's the letter N. Let's go to the next one, which is the letter E, and it stands for expect God to act. Expect God to act. Okay? And let me tell you about this man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. And some of you guys may have, you know, heard of him. He is actually one of the greatest pastors of the 19th century. He was the pastor of the largest church in the world at that time in London, England. And many people came to know Christ through his life and through his preaching. He was a very, very powerful, very, very gifted pastor. And the story is, one day, a young man came to Pastor Charles Spurgeon and said to him, Mr. Spurgeon, I don't understand it. Whenever you talk to people about Jesus, whenever you preach, people tend to open up their hearts and they tend to come to you. But the thing is, whenever I talk to people about Jesus, they're not interested. They don't really care. I mean, what is wrong? So that's what the young man said, you know, to the pastor. Well, Charles Spurgeon replied, he said, well, young man, you don't expect people to come to Jesus every time you talk to him, right? And then the young man said, of course not. Why would anybody expect, you know, this will always happen? And then Spurgeon replied and he said, well, that's your problem, because you don't expect God to act. Now, I don't understand how this works, but sometimes in my experience in the past, I know that whenever I pray and whenever I do expect God to act in certain way, in certain situations in my prayer, somehow he always does. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I feel like I'm so surprised when God does act through my prayer. And why is that? Why are we so surprised by it? I mean, is it because we don't have enough faith? Now, what is faith? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And let's read that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, I know that some of you, you know, you have been Christian for a long time. And for some of you, perhaps you have been praying for, you know, some of your non-Christian friends and relatives. And somehow you just don't see any evidence of them coming anywhere closer to God than, say, like, what, 3 or 4 years ago. Well, might I encourage you to continue to pray and expect God to do something in their life. Now, remember the story in the Gospels where there were four guys who had a friend who was paralyzed, and the four guys, you know, went over the roof and lowered that friend down in front of Jesus. You guys remember that story? Now, listen to what happened in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And let's read it. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And then he healed the guy. You guys remember that? Now, notice Jesus healed the guy on the basis of the friend's faith, not on the guy who was sick. Now, that's surprising. The guy who was sick, he probably did not have any energy at all. He probably didn't have any faith in the first place. But it was his friends and their faith that moved Jesus to perform the miracle. Jesus looked at these four guys and he said, well, you guys believe that I will heal your friend. and I'll do it. And sometimes we have to have that kind of faith and expect God to act. And you know what? It doesn't involve a lot of faith. Sometimes just a little faith. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of our God who ultimately matters. So when we reach out to people, we want to expect God to do something. We don't just say, hey, you know, God, please do something in that person's life. And I was like, oh, you know. But expect it. Know it. And God, you know, takes our faith very serious. And He is a God who can do miracles. So that's the letter E I want us to see. Now let's go to the very last letter, the letter R, which stands for represent Christ with your life. Represent Christ with your life. Now let us read Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. In other words, whatever we do or say, we need to walk the walk and talk the talk. I know we say that, say that all the time, but we really need to do that. We need to communicate the gospel, but we need to demonstrate it in our lives as well. Now, let's read one more verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. Let's read it. Do all you can to live a peaceful life. Take care of your own business. Do your own work. If you do, people who are not believers will respect you. Again, you know, the verse calls us to live a life that is holy, that is peaceful, so that people will see it. And here's the truth, guys. And I'm going to say again. God has specifically put people in your life for you to reach out to. And they may be your relatives, they may be your friends, they may be your classmates, they may be your coworkers. And now, I know a lot of times we may be thinking, hey, God, why don't you just change them yourself? Why don't you just put up a sign, you know, in the sky and say, hey, you know, this is me, you know, come and, you know me. Why do you want us to do that? Well, the thing is, God wants to be partnered with us. And therefore, He wants to send us to them. I mean, God doesn't work, you know, as a solo person. He wants us to team up with Him. In fact, God doesn't want us to sit on the bench. He wants us to be in the game. He wants us to be where the action is. And there's no greater privilege than an honor to do that. Now, as we close, let me encourage you and yet at the same time warn you to pray a really short prayer. And the prayer is this. I dare you to say this to God. Use me. Use me, God. I dare you to pray during the prayer, you know, time that you guys have for the next 40 days and say to God, use me, Lord. Use me to show your love to people. Use me, God. Use me to show purpose to those people who don't even know you yet. You see, God has given us this church to do many things. And unless we show what we have experienced in this church to the outside world, we will remain just this. I mean, look around you. And there are times I feel like we're just moving, we're just standing still. We're not moving forward. But God says, hey, no, this is not what I want the church to be. There are friends and families, there are people around you that I want you guys to talk to, I want you guys to build friendships with. You know, there are some people who are close to you like that, you know, I want you to talk to them about Jesus. So let us think about that. And here's my challenge to you guys again. You know, for the next 40 days, it's about community together. But it's also about reaching out together as well. So, you know, so again, let's pray together. Let's appeal to, you know, to people's common interest. You know, let's reach out to our friends and families in love. And let's tell our stories to each other, to train each other how to share our story to people. And let's, you know, expect God to act. And let's represent Jesus in our lives. Let us close in prayer. Father, you have given us a mission in this world to share your good news and your love with people. And we thank you that we don't have to do this alone. Thank you that right now you have given us this community so that we can practice this love to each other. And we pray that you will raise up an army with a heart to change this community, with a heart to change those around us, with a heart to change the world. And now, guys, this is why I want you to pray to God right now, if you can. say to God, "Dear Lord, I realize that you you have placed specific people in my life because you want me to share your love to them. And today I accept my mission. I want you to use me. Help me to be concerned about people around me who have yet to know you. Help me to take these things that I've learned today and to partner with my small group. I realize that these non-Christian friends of ours are not going to know you and your love unless we learn to show it to them. Help me to remember that no one is hopeless and nobody is beyond the reach of your love. So in faith, I ask that you will help our small group, help this church to reach out to meet more people about Jesus Christ from now and make that as a primary goal and orientation of this church. And in your name we pray. Amen." Well, the message today is about reaching out.